Luke chapter 4, you have your Bibles. I want to do my best to get through this entire chapter here this morning. And we're going to start in the middle and read the context of what's taking place. And then we'll go back to verse number 1. We'll work all the way down to verse number 44. And if we spend 1 minute on each verse, we'll be here for 44 minutes. Amen. Somebody should have said amen right there. If we spend 2 minutes on each verse, we'll be here for 88 minutes. Amen. I can't do math beyond times two, so we'll just stop there. Amen. Verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was..." Hey, real quick, spend an extra 30 seconds on this verse. Don't miss this right here, where the Bible says, "As his custom was, he went into the synagogue." He went to church, as it was his custom. I'm so glad you're here today. You're doing what Jesus did. Amen. "He went into the synagogue, was his custom, on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias." It's Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" I want you to notice in verse number 21 where Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He was speaking about the prophet Isaiah as he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It was of that scripture that Jesus said was fulfilled in their ears. It was on this day that Jesus is getting ready to begin his public ministry. The ministry that Jesus had was to the poor. It's to the brokenhearted. It was to the captive. It was to the blind. It was to the bruised. And all of it was acceptable to God. We're going to see this morning as we see the introduction to the ministry of Jesus. What was it all about? We'll see it here this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. And God, I thank you so much that you have given to us this wonderful book that we can open and we can have and hold the truth of your word in our laps today. God, that our ears can hear and that our hearts can be filled with your joy. That is joy unspeakable and full of glory, as we sang just a few moments ago. But God, we would miss everything if Jesus hadn't began his ministry. We wouldn't even be here today if you had never sent your son to preach, to have a ministry here on earth. oh, how he ministered. Father, I pray today that you would allow us to see just a glimpse of what Jesus did while he was here. And God, how we can take that ministry that he did, that we might be able to apply it to the hearts of people. The gospel that he preached is still the saving gospel today. We thank you for that. Thank you for saving me. I pray that you would help us today to get exactly what you would have for us. Remove any distractions that are in the room today. May our hearts be focused upon you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would ask you to keep your seats as we preach this morning, and that'll help us. So just stay where you're at, and that'll be a great help. So Jesus right here says, this scripture today is fulfilled in your ears. Of course, we know he was talking to the people who were at the synagogue, but I want to kind of go back to verse number 1 as we see the motive of his ministry. What was the motive of Jesus' ministry? Now, when we come to Luke chapter 4, it's important, and I'm grateful we have the other Gospels of Matthew and Mark and John, that we can see what time frame this was during the life of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, we find Jesus being baptized. He was baptized by John the Baptist. As John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Bible says that after that, this is what took place. And Luke, though, gives a little bit more description than what Matthew gave, and so we'll start here, but this is right after Jesus had been baptized of John. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. We see here Satan coming to Jesus as a tempter, if you will. The Bible says in verse number 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended afterward, he hungered. Can you imagine going 40 days with no food? Well, Jesus did, and he was hungry afterwards. And Satan comes, and he asks three if questions. Isn't that amazing? Satan comes, and he says, If thou be the Son of God. You see, God did not necessarily reveal these things to Satan, and it's very likely, as he's asking, if thou be the Son of God, that he had a little bit of doubt in his mind, possibly. And Jesus answered, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus responds using Scripture. In verse number 7, he said, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine, after he showed him the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The third if question that Satan asked was one that was repeated, as he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. And Jesus said in verse number 12, answering, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Each time we find Jesus going to Scripture that had been written, that had been given from God above, to respond to the questions that Satan had, to the question of if. It was in that first question that Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He said, I'm going to trust in God. In the second time, he said, if thou would worship me, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It's in this third time that we see Jesus stops for a moment and he gives a glimpse of something. He didn't say, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God as far as thy Father in heaven. No, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Guess what he just revealed to Satan? Exactly who he was. There was no doubt after this third time when he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, Satan, son, you don't even know who you're tempting here. But let me just tell you for a moment. But I want you to notice this motive of Jesus every time when he responds here. Every time when we see him doing his ministry was not about himself. Amen. And we could go to other scriptures to support this, but we won't have time this morning. But every time he says, but thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word of God. He said that thou, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm telling you, the motive of Jesus' ministry was to glorify the Father in heaven. He said multiple times throughout his life and throughout his ministry that he was not here for his will, but as of the will of the Father. And it was the will of the Father that caused Jesus to go and motivated him. That's what motivated him was the glory of God and the wisdom of God and the gloriness of God. And when we come to verse number 14, Jesus, the Bible says again, after all of the temptation was over, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about him. Wonder why? He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. When he came to Nazareth, it's where he was raised. We find something within this, a little bit of mystery about Jesus in the beginning. There was a mystery of his ministry. In this ministry, as he stands up and he reads the words that we read just a few moments ago, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this wasn't Jesus just bragging a little bit. The Bible already declares in verse number 14 that he returned in the power of the Spirit. When he stands up and he opens up that scroll in Isaiah and he found the place where it read just this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He didn't need to read anymore. He closed the book up and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I want to draw your attention in this particular day and time when Jesus sat down. I mean, if I were to stand up and read a passage and I came back over here and I sat down, that would indicate service is over, right? Or at least close to over. But in this particular day and time, when a man would teach, they would sit down. So when Jesus
sat down, it was in that place of prominence that he was getting ready to teach him something. And when he sat down, their eyes were fastened to him. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all, look at this, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They said, "Hold on a minute." I said, "Who is this?" Now we know from other passages, when Jesus spoke, the Bible declares that he spoke as one who had authority and not as the scribes. I wonder what authority Jesus might have had. I wonder, could it have been that he was God? Oh yes, most certainly. He was God. And when he spoke, their eyes were fastened on him, and they were thrown back at this kind of mystery that, isn't this Joseph's son? Now Joseph, we know, was a carpenter. It's what he did. Typically, in these days, a young man, if he was a male, would do what his father did. And that's because he did what his father did, and he did what his father did, and he did what his father did, and Joseph was a carpenter. And now here's Jesus, and he's expounding upon the Word of God in a way that they had never heard before. And it was a little confusing to them. Five times, the Bible says that they were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, and his ways. You know, no man has ever been able to duplicate all that Jesus did. No man. But Jesus did it. And when we come to verse number 18, and we see this magnitude of his ministry. So we see this motive. It was to glorify God. We see that in the mystery, men didn't understand. But Jesus explained in verse number 18 the magnitude of his ministry, and he came to this world to do a job. And it's a job that he hasn't stopped doing. Amen. He continues to do these things through the Holy Spirit, as he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He said, "It's my ministry to herald the good news to those who are destitute of wealth, to those who are weak in position, and those who have no influence of honor." He said, "It is my job, it is my ministry to preach the gospel to them." Now I want you to notice, as he's preaching the gospel to the poor, he continues by saying, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to cure those who have suffered of extreme sorrow." I tell you what, this speaks to anyone whose spirit has been crushed. Jesus said, "This is my ministry." He said, "My ministry is not just to do that." He said, "But he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives," those who are literally held in captivity, "to declare that this is a freedom for everyone who is held captive." Sinners held captive by Satan. Jesus makes them free. He makes them free. He said to give the recovering of sight to the blind. Blinded by Satan, blinded mentally, blinded spiritually. Blinded by the lies of the world, blinded by the lies of Satan. He said to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is to release from bondage those that have been crushed or oppressed. He said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim that the doors of salvation have been opened. He said, "Here it is." And he's opening the door. The door of healing, the door of ministry have been opened. To remind us there is coming a blessed time when God's people will be with him in heaven. You see, as you look through this list, I tell you this morning, if all six of these things don't apply to you, I guarantee you at least one of them does. At least one of these six things applies to you and applies to me, or at least they did before we knew Jesus. Oh, yes, but yet Jesus said, this is my ministry, this magnitude of his ministry. It was wide, it was broad, it went all the way around. The Bible says that it was for the whole world that Jesus died. The whole world, not just in this time, but for all time. Oh, yeah, the magnitude of his ministry, it continues today, and it will continue, amen, until that final day. It'll continue because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. God has given us his word. As we're continuing pretty fast through this, again, as he closed the book, the Bible says he gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And Jesus said, oh, verse number 23, here's the message. He said, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel during the days of Elias. It's Elijah, by the way. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save the Zarephath woman, or save the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Uh-oh. Something's about to happen. The message is being given. Remember where Jesus is at. He's in Nazareth. He's in a place where he had been raised. He's in a place where they knew who he was. They even said, is this not Joseph's son? In verse number 28, things begin to change. The Bible says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. This message that Jesus had, he had for them in Nazareth. He said, you know, you're really not going to listen. He said, a prophet's not without honor in his own country. He said, these things can't be done. He said, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. He said, when Elijah was going through, he said, there are a lot of widows, but only one got help. He said, there were a lot of lepers in that day, and only one got help. Naaman the Syrian. That's key right there. He wasn't even a Jew. Find that interesting. They tried to take him out so they could kill him, but he slipped through, got away. But yet his message continued. In Capernaum, a city in Galilee, in verse 31, he taught them on the Sabbath day, and again they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Jesus is saying, hey, yeah, this is the message, but you're not going to listen. But he kept on going. They murmured against his ministry. They murmured against it. And oh, what a day.
when we see in verse number 33. Because in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now hold on a second. Remember, word began to spread fast about Jesus, didn't it? When we came at the beginning, after his temptation, the Bible says when he went to Nazareth, his fame had gone about. They had heard about the things that he did, but he wasn't going to do any miracles there. And he told them that. But his fame and who he was did not just go about through men and women. Remember Satan on that day, when he was tempting Jesus, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God." And Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Word went out in the spiritual world too. That's him. He's the one. Because now here we are, I don't know how much time has passed from the time that he left Nazareth to Capernaum and he's teaching in the synagogues, but here he is on this particular day, and the Bible says that there is a man who hath an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirit, and they come out." Woo! The might of his ministry. I don't want you to miss this. What was the might of his ministry? His motive was to glorify the Father. Yes, the mystery, they really didn't understand who he was, but they were trying to figure it out. And the magnitude, it was everywhere. And he had a message, and he delivered that message. And when he delivered that message, they murmured against his ministry. But the might of his ministry is when he spoke, things happened. Oh, when he spoke, all he said was just a few simple words, "Hold thy peace," and come out of him. And they recognized that as something that had authority and something that had power. Why? Because he was truly the Son of God. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And the Bible says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. I want you to notice the mercy of his ministry. The mercy of his ministry. Because in verse number 40, as he just healed Simon's mother-in-law, she got up and she began serving and began ministering. And verse number 40, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Oh, the mercy that Jesus had. These people needing his touch, needing this upon his life, upon their lives. He touched them and they were healed. I don't want you to just see the mercy. I don't want you to just see the might or the murmuring against his ministry or the message, the magnitude or the motive. But I want you to see the movement of his ministry. Jesus went to Nazareth. He went to Capernaum. He went to the synagogues. He went to people's houses. And in verse number 42, the Bible says, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." You know, Jesus did not just have a central place where he ministered. No. Jesus traveled all throughout so that his message could be heard. Jesus traveled throughout the region during that day and time. And his ministry became a movement, if you will. It's what we'd probably call it today. But the movement of his ministry was not from one place, but he traveled. He traveled, preaching and teaching and healing and doing miracles. Oh, and changing people's lives. Why? Well, because this was the acceptable year of the Lord. Because God had given to him a ministry. And eventually we'll find, as you continue through the Gospels, we see Jesus being crucified upon a cross of Calvary. Being found innocent of all charges. Yet suffering a horrible crucifying death that he did not deserve. Why? Because that was his ministry. As they took the body of Jesus, and they lay it in a borrowed tomb that was reserved for someone else. They rolled the stone in front of it so that no one could come in and take his body. They set guards watch by night. And yet they didn't know there was nothing that could hold Jesus in that grave. 3 days later, up from the grave he arose, meets with his disciples. Over 500 people see him. And by the time we get to the book of Acts, the 11 disciples and those that were with them, the Bible says, turned the world upside down because of the movement of his ministry. They saw all of that. They had witnessed what Jesus had done. And when Jesus said, "So send I you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." To do what? To do exactly what Jesus did. To preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive. Recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the ministry Jesus has given. It's the ministry that we have today, and that it should still move upon our hearts to tell someone else that'll tell someone else that'll tell someone else that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus died to save them. Friend, I don't know if you're here this morning and you may have never heard this before, but I tell you this morning that Jesus died to save you. And when he gloriously resurrected, he gave power unto his death and to his blood so that you and I might have eternal life. God said it is good what Jesus did. Oh, I'd invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior this morning. And if you know him, let me just tell you, you have a ministry. You have a ministry. He says, "I've never heard this before." Well, you have a ministry. What will you do with it? To preach means to, very simply, to proclaim. To not proclaim just doesn't mean preach, I can tell you that. Just means tell someone. That'll tell someone. That will tell someone. May it move upon you. May it not stop with you. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. The motive of his ministry ought to be the motive of us today, to glorify the Father. There'll probably be some mystery to those who don't know Christ.
The magnitude can be the same all over the world with the message that Jesus died to save them, that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Yes, they may murmur, but the same might that Jesus had is the same might that we have today. The same mercy that Jesus shown is the same mercy that we can show today. May it move upon our hearts. My friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you. Would you trust Him? You may be here today and you say, if I were to close my eyes in death right here, right now, I am not sure that heaven would be my home. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand?